Good morning. This morning I was looking in my journal and I noticed some things. Here's an entry from 2009. We live in a world of thought forms, which is Genesis 2. Or we live in the Garden of Eden, pure consciousness formed, which is Genesis 1. So we have a choice. We can live in thought forms or we can live in consciousness. Now, first, the presence is felt in consciousness. Then it appears as form in the mind. That was from 2012. Now, and again in 2015, a world untouched by mortal thoughts. That, of course, would be the kingdom of heaven here and now. A world untouched by mortal thoughts. And in 2016, my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. Human thoughts are thoughts in the human mind. God's thought comes as awareness of omnipresence. Human thought is thinking. God thought is awareness. And in 2017, when you have the conscious awareness, you do not need to pray. When you have the consciousness, you don't need the mind. Again, thinking thoughts about truth cannot heal anything. Remember, we do not live on the problem. We do not live in the problem. Your thoughts are not my thoughts, saith the Lord. That which is thought in the mind has no power. That which is imparted from consciousness is with power. The thoughts of God are quick and sharp and powerful. Therefore, mental images have no power, good or evil. Is alone has the power to dissolve a mortal sense of life. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. In other words, it is not what you think, but what you receive as conscious awareness in meditation. This is what is quick and sharp and powerful and demonstrated. All right. There is no corporeal creation. The mind is not a creator. We must discover a world untouched by mortal thought. You must be born again. You must be formed again, not by mind. You must be formed by consciousness. conscious thought is not consciousness. Conscious awareness is. If it is not received as an impartation, it is not real. Not by mouth, nor by mind, but by my consciousness. All right, so we see by these journal entries, there are two universes. There is Genesis 1, pure consciousness formed, and Genesis 2, where suddenly we have the law God, which is mind formed. And mind formed is this world. So we must transform from mind formed to conscious awareness of is. In the mind ye shall have tribulation, but be happy, I have overcome the mind. Now the mind is made up of opposites, up, down, death, life, goodness, badness, and we are transitioning from the mind to conscious awareness. Therefore, the instruction is take no thought. Now, in the infinite way, we are taught to meditate, because in meditation we move from mind to consciousness. We move from thinking to listening. We move from trying to create to experiencing grace. You see the difference? This entire world is mind formed. My kingdom is grace, consciousness appearing. Now, in your meditation, you receive an impartation. It may be something as simple as, my grace is thy sufficiency. And suddenly, because it comes as an impartation, it forms itself, and that abundance appears. See, that will never happen by taking thought. You can repeat a dozen times a day, thy grace is my sufficiency, and nothing changes. But if you receive that as an impartation, my grace is thy sufficiency, then it appears. When mind appears, it can be either one of the opposites. It can be good or it can be evil. When consciousness, when grace appears, it can only be God. So, make the transition as quickly as possible from mind, thinking, to grace imparting itself to you. Now here's one from 2001. Without eyes, I can see. Without ears, I can hear. Without a brain, I still have thought. Who am I? I am the resurrection. You see, when you are resurrected, you come up over the mind. And when you come up over the mind, you dwell in God. I had a dream many, many years ago. And in the dream, I was at the park, and there was a swing set, and I had the chain that was holding the swing in my hands, and I climbed up the chain on top of the swing set. I was overcoming the pendulum, the two, the mind. I was coming up over into grace. You see, the mind is opposites, good and evil. And what you get on a certain day depends on what you're thinking. But in grace, when you're living in consciousness, in conscious awareness, grace just comes. You don't work for it, you don't earn it, you don't deserve it. It's grace, it's a free gift. So we can live by mind under the law of good and evil, or we can live by grace, by consciousness, by Christ. Christ is really a mind that is freed from mortal thought. Grace. And 26 years ago, I wrote, humans don't pray. Humans can only think. Only the spirit can pray. So you cannot pray with the mind. But when you dwell in spirit, spirit can announce itself. All right, in 2000, I wrote, and two shall be standing in a field, one shall remain. I am that one. And 4 days later, I had a dream. There was a form called me that I was looking down and saw was dissolving. Down to my waist, I was invisible. Looking across the room, there was a new me, a new form, already formed. Hurry, dissolve this old form completely. Enter the new form created for you. All right, so again and again and again it comes. The kingdom of heaven is not a place. This world is not a place. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The world is mind. The kingdom is consciousness. In 2004, I had this dream. I was in a bookstore. There was a homeless man on the floor, covered with sores. I laid down next to him and we talked about spiritual things. I felt the presence, warm and healing, flow through my hip and into that man. He sat up suddenly and said, "What's that? What is that?" I smiled and said, "Grace. Grace." And so we look at different scriptures and see them with a new meaning. For instance, a stone is cut out of the mountain without hands means consciousness forms itself without thought. A temple not made by hands means consciousness without thought. I am the resurrection means come up over thought into I. It is I. Be not afraid. Fear not. I am here. More and more and more and more and more and more, we must follow the Master's direction. Take no thought. Be still and know. You see, there's a different kind of knowing, and it comes when you learn the silence. You learn how to enter the silence. Silence, again, is not an absence of sound. Silence is an absence of mind. An absence of self. An absence of good and evil. Silence comes upon you when you take no thought. Be still and know. That knowing is done by awareness. Be still, mind. Now rest in awareness. All of these thoughts about scripture, all of these thoughts about statements of truth, they are helpful only if they lead to silence. But then in the silence, awareness dawns upon you. Indeed, it's just like the coming of the morning, when dawn is upon you. Now, if any man would come after me, let him deny the mind self, the false self. Isn't it time you came out of duality and consciously into oneness? One life, one love, one presence. There really is something to this seamless garment. Seamless garment. That's omnipresence. Isn't it amazing how truth is hidden by much thinking and by much analysis. Yet, truth is in the midst of you. I in the midst of you. I am the truth. Now listen to a little bit of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now that's a very peculiar way of talking. Without Him was not anything made that was made. So everything that was not made by Him, everything that was made but not by Him, was not made. It never was made. It's only a thought, a series of thoughts in the mind. Again, we either live in the mind and its thoughts, or we live in the real creation that was made by Him, which is the Word made flesh. Now, the Word made flesh, where is that? The Word made flesh is invisible. The Word is invisible. And when it is made flesh, it's invisible flesh. Let's see if I can find a quote from Joel. Hang on. Yes, Joel says, "As I observe discords and inharmonies in the world, I am going to not take thought. I am going to stop. I am going to have no opinion, no judgment. I am going to make no statement of denial or affirmation. I am not going to let the human mind into the picture. I'm neither going to say it's no part of God, nor am I going to say the only activity is God. I am going to put the finger on my lips. If I must declare something or think something, it will be something like 'Thy grace is my sufficiency,' something that's not pertinent to what I am seeing or observing. We have engaged in battle when we take thought, but we are going to stand aside and not enter the human scene. We are going to stand aside without any judgment, whether this is a devil or whether it is God. Let me show you the principle behind that. Every time you engage in denial or affirmation, you are in the world of good or evil. You are in the world of appearances. You are in human thought. Now, in this approach, you are revealing Christhood, because Christhood is the true identity of every individual. All right, so again and again and again, take no thought. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are mental. My thought is awareness. And awareness comes to you through grace, not by taking thought. Who by taking thought can heal a disease? Who by taking thought can produce abundance. Who, by taking thought, can save a life? Yet there's a realm untouched by mortal thoughts. There's a realm, a kingdom, untouched by good or evil. What happens when you take no thought? What happens when you are silent within? Ah, something called grace happens. And grace is my spirit flowing. My spirit. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Not by physical force, nor by mental activity, but by my spirit, by grace. Now, can you manipulate grace? Can you get a hold of it and make it do something? Can you funnel it into your life? Can you channel it into a situation? Now, grace is like the Spirit. Let me find that biblical reference. Hang on. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And so you cannot grab a hold of Spirit any more than you can grab a hold of the wind. Yes, you can set your sail so that the wind drives you in a certain direction, but you cannot grab the wind. And yes, you can align yourself with Spirit so that Spirit moves you in whatever direction it will. But you can't grab a hold of Spirit. You can see the results of Spirit. You can see where it led and what happened. But you cannot see the Spirit itself. You can feel it. I often feel it. Very often. Every day. But I don't see it. I don't direct it. It is Spirit. And not by might nor by power, but by Spirit. And so we have to become receptive to Spirit. How? How do we do that? Well, first, we have to unattach to thoughts. Thoughts of good, thoughts of evil, spiritual thoughts, all thoughts. And when we do that, we are receptive. We are listening. And we feel the movement of Spirit. And then we bear witness. We behold. We become beholders of what Spirit is doing. And so you must be born of the Spirit. You must become a being that is ever listening, ever receptive to to spirit. This is what Joel meant when he said we become beholders. This is such a different level than thought-taking. In thought-taking, we are trying to create, and the mind is not a creator. But in beholding, we are watching spirit where it listeth. I wish for you to become a being that no longer takes thought, a being that bears witness to spirit, a being that listens to spirit, a being that bears witness to spirit. Start in your meditation. I am here to meditate. I am here to listen. I am here to bear witness. And spirit is my master. There's only one master in this entire spiritual universe. It's not a man that lived 2,000 years ago. It's not a fellow who invented the infinite way. The master is spirit. The spirit that comes upon you in your meditation when you are still. You are silent. You are not taking thought. You are watching. Then the spirit comes upon you. You can feel it. Ah, thank you, Father, for thy spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, he shall testify of me. And when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And this important one, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Old men shall dream dreams. Okay. And this, one of my favorite ones. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. But if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so we are told to live by the Spirit, and that as many as receive that Spirit, to them gives he power to be the sons of God. And so, Spirit is what I am. Spirit is what I must live by. Spirit is what I must follow. And Joel says, "The I is living its life through me. It's not good and it's not bad. It's immortality, divinity, perfection. That is where you reach the place of neither good nor evil. Just God, just Spirit, being." All right, so we are told that we must come out and be separate. Separate from what? Separate from those living their life on the mental plane, from the mind, on the plane of duality of good and evil. And we must be born of the Spirit. Can you define Spirit? Can you draw a picture of Spirit? Can you photograph Spirit? What does it look like? What does it feel like? When I feel Spirit, I feel it on my arm or my leg or the side of my face or the top of my head. A Spirit that is within and without seems to flow through whatever, wherever I'm feeling it. Again, you feel it, but you cannot tell where it goes or what it's doing. Always it carries grace. Spirit and grace are one. If you must define it, you can use the word is. Spirit is. You cannot draw a picture of that either. Now, if you can define something, it's from the level of mind. And I don't care how good a description it is, how beautiful, how spiritual. If you cannot define it, if you can only feel it and watch the effects, it is Spirit. Remember the disciples? The Spirit of God was upon them. They picture that as a little light above their heads. But how do you define light? Please come out of the need to understand. Understanding has no meaning. It is witnessing. And I witness the Spirit descending upon Christ It is witnessing, it is beholding, it is listening, it is feeling. More than anything else in your meditation, stop thinking and start feeling. Feel the Holy Ghost. Feel the Spirit. Feel the Father's Spirit upon you, through you. Bear witness to what it does out here. Because when there's no thought out here, and in here are one. There's no impediments. There's no thoughts to get in the way. There's only Spirit flowing. And that's what we must be born to. Born to feeling the Spirit, watching the Spirit, bearing witness, witnessing the Spirit. And like the wind, we feel it. I felt it just now. Spirit. But I do not know where it goes or who it is blessing. I cannot create a blessing, but I can bear witness to the Spirit blessing. Yes, that I can do. Now, cc from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Become a living spirit. There has never been one single death in the kingdom of heaven. Not one. Therefore, there has never been one single birth in the kingdom of heaven. Not one. You were never born. Not one. I, Spirit, shall never leave thee nor forsake thee. I, Spirit, shall be with you always, even beyond the end of the world. For this world will come to an end. I, Spirit, am forever. Behold, what manner of love the Father has, that he should give us his Spirit, that he should give us the Spirit Comforter, the Spirit that comforts you, that he should give us the Spirit of abundance, the Spirit of companionship. The Spirit becomes our permanent companion. And it shall never leave us. And it shall never forsake us. No matter what state you are in. No matter if you are receptive, you will receive my Spirit. Let the Spirit be upon you now. Let the Spirit flow through your body. Take no thought so that the Spirit may flow through your mind. says Paul, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality, or spirit." "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, in the Spirit." And so, again and again, we are told, come out of the duality of the mind. Let it go. Let it rest. Become aware. If you have ever been out camping, you know in the very early morning, dawn is upon you. You see it first in the distance in the sky, and then it lights up the trees around you, and then it is upon you. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's exactly like dawn. So, take no thought. Be ye of good cheer. Spirit has overcome duality. This world, duality, born of the mind, cannot get outside of the mind. No illusion is ever externalized. So step out of the mind into spirit. Spirit is externalized. Spirit is the creator. Spirit is the father of us all. Spirit is what you are when thinking comes to a stop. So I give you the secret to immortality. Let the Spirit so move in you that you drop your mortal existence. I, Spirit, have come that you might have life, life eternal. Remember, Spirit is invisible. So is your true life. Your true life is Spirit, eternal. Let that Spirit be upon you that also raised up Christ Jesus. Let that Spirit live your life. Let that Spirit plan for you, Let that Spirit provide for you. Let the Spirit go before you to prepare a place for you. Anywhere you go in the world, you shall have tribulation if you are walking in the mind, which appears as good and evil. But if you be of the Spirit, and you walk in the Spirit and the Spirit in you, anywhere that you go is peace without ending, love enveloping you, light empowering you. Spirit is your nature. I and the Spirit are one. Once I had a dream. I get instruction in dreams. Yes, of course, sometimes it's nothing more than subconscious working on problems. But other times it's definitely a spiritual principle revealing itself to me. And in this dream I was flying up above the trees and the rooftops and the buildings and the telephone wires. And I pumped my arms to raise up higher. I was floating and I looked down and I was grateful I had risen above the world or the mind. I started to slowly drift back down, and so I began to pump my arms again to stay up above the things below. Suddenly, the invisible Christ Spirit wrapped around my arm, and I felt a tingling and began to rise gently higher. When a voice inside me said, "You don't have to work that hard." And then I woke up in the middle of the night. And so you can see the Spirit was letting me know that all that effort of pumping my arms and this, that, and the other thing was not necessary. You don't have to work that hard. You only have to rest back in the Spirit, and Spirit will lift you. And so it's true of meditation. You do not have to expend a lot of energy taking thought to rise above thought. No, you have to be consciously aware of Spirit and then rest back in that Spirit, and it will lift you up. By grace are ye saved, not by works, by grace. The Spirit itself will lift you. And so make it a habit in your meditation. I am resting back in Spirit. Spirit, thy will be done. Spirit, fulfill thyself. Spirit, flow. You don't have to work hard. You have to rest back. So do that in your meditation and then carry it out into your world several times a day. Spirit. That's enough. Consciously acknowledge Spirit. You And you take a breath. Ah, spirit. And that's enough. That will take you right into the kingdom of heaven here and now. The funny thing is that when you do this, when I do this, I find my thinking becomes aligned with spirit. And I am inspired. About which direction to go. If I'm driving, what street to get off on. Which chore to take care of. Which items to purchase. The Spirit will guide you in all of your affairs. If you let it. Ah, Spirit. Let that become your way of living. Let that become, well, your presence. All right. So, I'm going to feel the Spirit which is upon me for a moment and see if there's anything else. Oh, it's wonderful. You really must try this. Thank you, everyone, for drawing this out. My joy would be if everyone felt the Spirit. Everyone knew the Spirit of the living God. Thank you. God bless. May the Spirit be upon you. Amen.